Ace glanced back and saw the sentry limping after him. Ace thought about whistling the kill command and sending Hazel back to rip out the sentry's throat, to kill him the way she had killed the Moloch Spinetail. But the sentry still grasped his cattle prod, and Ace didn't want to risk it. He couldn't lose Hazel now, not after she had saved him twice from certain death. They approached the mining camp. It was still empty. He looked to the place where he'd seen Deke fall. There was no body, no sign of him. The door to his compartment was still open. Ace stopped for a moment. Hazel stopped right next to him. Ace walked toward the compartment. He didn't want to go to the surface without Deke. He wanted to show him that hope was real, that there was another destiny for them. Ace thought about calling out for Deke, but he heard the sentry's boots. Good leg thumping on the floor, bad leg dragging across it. The sentry was never going to stop. So Ace ran. Ace and Hazel arrived at the cave-in and navigated the rubble without too much trouble. Maybe this would slow the sentry down, Ace thought to himself. They finally arrived at the elevator door. Ace looked down at Hazel, waiting for something to happen automatically, but Hazel just looked up at him, then sat down on her haunches. Ace had not anticipated this. He had thought Hazel would get in range and the door would swing open, but that wasn't happening. Ace tapped the door with his finger, hoping to elicit a response from Hazel. No change. The bot did not react. Ace heard a sound down the tunnel, a gritty, scraping sound and a grunt of exertion. The sentry was closing in, crawling through the rubble. He was coming. Ace panicked, knelt down face to face with Hazel, staring at her.
"Open it!"
he yelled. Hazel stood, suddenly very alert. Ace looked down at her chest plate and saw a flickering green light, as if some kind of code was being transmitted through the air. Hazel opened her mouth and Ace heard high-pitched melodic notes. This is what Deke had told Ace about Darva models. She was communicating with the elevator interface. Then there was a large metallic sound and a hiss of air escaping. Ace turned to see the elevator door opening. Dust particles blasted out of it as the seal was breached. As soon as the hydraulics raised the door high enough, Ace scrambled inside. The elevator was a small capsule, metal on the top and bottom, with some kind of clear synthetic glass in the middle. He could see rock through the clear partition. The elevator was tubular in shape and not big enough for him to stand. There was an indecipherable interface at the top of the capsule, but it seemed dormant, indicator lights dead and unresponsive. Ace pushed himself further in, trying to make room for Hazel.
"Come on, girl,"
he said urgently. He heard that growling sound again, the danger sound that Hazel made when a threat was nearby. He poked his head out through the elevator door. The sentry was there, stumbling through the rubble, getting closer. Ace tried to pull Hazel into the elevator, but she was tensed up and focused on the sentry. He couldn't move her. Hazel faced off with the sentry. Ace reached and grabbed at her once again, trying to pull her inside the capsule, but she was like stone. Her paws were grounded, ready to pounce at the sentry, ready to defend Ace. What happened next happened so fast, Ace never even had a chance to react. He could only watch. The sentry lunged at Hazel with the cattle prod. She dodged out of the way, but the sentry quickly pivoted on his good leg and struck Hazel with the cattle prod. A surge of electricity sent her flying into the wall of the tunnel. She fell on her side, and her legs began to twitch. She tried to right herself, but fell back down. The sentry approached the bot carefully. He pressed the cattle prod against her side, but nothing happened. He jammed the cattle prod into her undercarriage, but again, nothing happened. The cattle prod was no longer operational. There was no more charge. As the sentry looked at the weapon, trying to figure out the problem, he heard a scraping noise behind him. The moment he turned around, Ace hit him in the head with a large rock. The helmet absorbed most of the blow, but the sentry went down to the ground. The cattle prod slipped from his fingers and clattered to the ground. His hands fumbled with the helmet straps as he moaned in pain. Ace didn't hesitate. He ran to Hazel. Her eyes were open, but the cattle prod had overloaded her circuits and she couldn't control her legs. Ace grabbed her hind legs and pulled her toward the elevator. His body was pumping with adrenaline and he moved her inside easily. He waited for something to happen. Nothing did. Hazel was unable to communicate with the elevator interface. She couldn't send any commands, not in her current state. Ace looked at Hazel's indicator panel. The power light was flashing dimly. Ace turned and saw the sentry was trying to push himself up. He had to think fast. He opened up Hazel's battery compartment and removed the power pack. He could see that the electrodes were charred and fused together. He set the power pack aside and removed his optics. It was dark inside the elevator, and without his optics, Ace couldn't see much. Outside, he heard the sentry groan. He heard a metal clank as the sentry was picking up the cattle prod. Ace attached one of the electrodes, but was having trouble with the other. He heard a footstep, and then a foot dragging across gravel. The sentry was coming for him. Ace finally got the optics power pack installed. He looked at her indicator light and he could see a dim, fuzzy light slowly blinking. Another step from the sentry. The light started blinking faster. He put his hand on Hazel's back.
"Come on, girl. Get up," he said.
Hazel turned her head toward Ace. She turned back at the approaching sentry who was almost at the door to the elevator. Ace heard a sound coming from Hazel's indicator panel. It was a low-pitched electric hum. He heard it 3 times, then heard the elevator door start to close. Just as the door was about to seal, the sentry jammed the cattle prod through the gap at the bottom of the door, preventing it from closing. Ace kicked at the cattle prod, knocking it back through the door. The door quickly shut and sealed. The sentry swung the cattle prod, bashing at the door. It was holding for now, but the sentry struck again and again, unleashing a furious barrage. Ace turned back toward Hazel. He couldn't tell exactly what she was doing, but she had gotten up and was standing on all fours. He heard a shrill hiss of static as some sort of digital code was sent by Hazel and processed by the elevator interface. The sentry slammed the cattle prod into the door again with a frustrated scream. And this time, a large dent appeared. Ace could hear something below them, like some sort of hydraulic system being primed. He felt heat and heard steam hissing as it rose up through the gap in the floor. The elevator capsule suddenly shot up. If Ace had been standing, he surely would have fallen over. Ace grabbed onto Hazel for support as the elevator picked up speed. They were soon moving with such extreme velocity, Ace was pressed against the floor of the capsule. He registered bright, strobing lights coming through the round porthole. Ace felt sick from the rush of speed and the lights, so he closed his eyes and held onto Hazel tighter. He had no sense of how fast they were going or how high they were climbing. Up they went, higher and higher, faster and faster. Ace felt the centrifugal force pin his body against the deck of the capsule. Deke had told him this elevator had been meant to transport equipment, not people, and Ace suddenly felt as if he had made a huge mistake. His head was throbbing and the nausea was overwhelming. He heard a popping sound in his ears as the air pressure changed. He closed his eyes and saw flashing stars. As he held on to Hazel, a memory came rushing back to him. It was a memory from when he was very young. He and his mother were running away from a sentry murder squad. The sentries had been sent down to cleanse the barons. It was the time of a deadly virus, and the leaders of Subterra had ordered all baron dwellers to be executed. They didn't want to risk the outcasts infecting the members of their society. Ace and his mother were outcasts, but not because they were sick. They were immune to the virus. They were being killed because they were different. It had something to do with their genetic sequence, something Ace never fully understood. The sentries and their hunter bots didn't understand either, or care. They were just following orders. Ace had been holding onto his mother's hand as they ran down a narrow corridor. Two Mass IVs were right behind them. Ace remembered her picking him up and putting him inside a ventilator shaft. He was just small enough to fit inside. Ace had told her to come with him, but she just cried and said she loved him. He didn't have his optics back then, but hearing the Mass IVs rip his mother apart had been just as horrible as if he had witnessed the attack. His mother's name was Hazel. The elevator came to a jarring halt, flinging Ace upward so fast he had to throw up his hands to prevent his face hitting the ceiling of the capsule. He could hear the hiss of steam as the hydraulic lift shut down. Hazel made the low-pitched humming sound again 3 times, and the elevator door slid up. Hazel went out first. She seemed to have more control of her body and was walking normally, but she was taking her time, scanning the area for any signs of danger. Ace gathered himself and crawled out behind her. His legs were shaking, but he was able to get to his feet. Outside the elevator, it was almost pitch black. Ace felt around, and his hand grazed a wall of rock. He felt up overhead. More rock. They were in a small cave. His hearing was slowly returning after his ears popped from the changing air pressure. He could hear a faint, steady sound. He reached down to put his hand on Hazel's head and began walking toward the source of the noise. As he approached the sound, a loud, steady roar now, he could see a large circle of light, getting brighter as he got closer. There was an opening in the cave. A wall of water was pouring down. Beyond the wall of water was a bright light. Ace walked toward the falling water, Hazel walking at his side. He held his hand out and felt a torrent of cool water. Ace hugged the edge of the cave. He took another tentative step. The light was very bright now, and pushed his head through the water. Ace pushed through to the other side. He wiped away the water and blinked a few times. He opened his eyes, trying to focus. It was so bright outside that Ace could actually see without his optics. He looked up and saw a ball of light that was so radiant he couldn't stare at it directly. It was brighter than anything he had ever seen. Ace looked back down, and he almost stopped breathing. His heart thumped in his chest. He was standing on the ledge of a vertical rock face. He was in the middle of a waterfall that was dropping from somewhere high overhead. The water plummeted into a pristine lagoon some 30 meters below. He looked out and saw a green pastoral meadow, bathed in bright light. He had never seen such a wide open space. He saw trees and flowers. There were goats grazing in the tall grass. Deke was wrong. The surface hadn't been destroyed. These were images he had seen only in his book, Dog Plays Fetch, and now he was seeing them for himself. It was real. He continued to scan the area and saw that the meadow was only one of the biomes. A region to his left, just at the bottom of the sloped hill, was dominated by a marshy swamp with fish jumping in the water. To his right, he saw a thick forest of towering trees. He stepped out onto a ledge of rock, clearing the waterfall. His ears were assailed by strange noises. He could hear shrill whistles and squawks that could only be some kind of animal. Wind blew through the boughs of the trees, the bleating of the goats. It was all so unreal. But he was here. He had made it. Hazel poked her head through the water and looked up at Ace. "Stay," Ace commanded. Ace climbed down the waterfall slowly, carefully navigating the slippery rocks. After a few moments, he reached a lower ledge and hopped the final few feet to the meadow. He had made it. He was on the surface. He looked up and found Hazel, still waiting at the cave entrance, head poking through the waterfall.
Come!
Ace shouted. Hazel leaped from the ledge without hesitation. She traversed the entire distance in seconds, jumping from rock to rock until she was on the ground. She trotted over to Ace. Ace heard that shrill whistle again and spun around, looking for the source. Hazel saw it too, and for a second her bad ear flicked up, as if she was on high alert. Ace saw something in the air coming at him. The thing landed in a tree branch. It was small, but very colorful. Red and yellow and green. It could only be one thing. Deke had told him stories of flying animals on the surface. They were called birds. Ace was looking at a bird. He smiled. The bird turned toward Ace and made that whistling sound again. Hazel made her barking sound, but it wasn't a warning. She was curious. When the bird flitted up and flew off, Hazel bounded after her. Ace smiled and let Hazel go investigate. Ace felt emotions surging inside of him. He suddenly wished he had a ball to throw to Hazel so they could play fetch. He wished Deke could be there with him. He heard Hazel bark again as she ran after the bird. She leaped up at the tree as the bird squawked again. The squawking only made Hazel more frenetic as she circled the trunk of the tree and whimpered. Ace laughed, remembering the passage in Dog Plays Fetch where the dog chased a bird. Only now he was seeing it in real life. Ace dropped to his knees and pulled a flower toward his face, breathing in the aroma. He rolled onto his back, closed his eyes, and let the sunlight warm his face. After a moment, Ace stood up and looked around. Something was wrong. The birds had stopped singing. He turned back to the waterfall, and it was gone. The lagoon was flat and still. And Hazel, where was she? He looked around but couldn't spot her anywhere. Hazel? Ace called. Ace ran towards the trees where he had last seen her.
Hazel!
He called out again, a little louder this time. Nothing. He ran into the trees and looked around frantically for the bot. He pushed between two large shrubs and came out into a clearing. He stopped. Someone was there, right in front of him, staring at him. It was a girl, about Ace's age. She wore a pristine white jumpsuit with some kind of insignia that Ace had never seen. She was carrying a basket of wildflowers.
You're not supposed to be here,
the girl said. He opened his mouth to speak, but no words came out.
If they find you, they'll kill you,
she said. Just then the lights went out. Complete darkness. Ace was blind again.
Commence lunar cycle.
A booming feminine voice echoed all around.
Commence lunar cycle.
The voice system was mechanical and was probably being piped in by some kind of speaker system overhead, Ace thought to himself. Ace couldn't see the girl now. He could barely see anything. He heard a rustling in the shrubs and Hazel jumped out, getting in front of Ace. She started to growl. Ace heard a sharp whistle and Hazel stopped growling instantly.
You need to teach your bot some manners,
the girl said. She was still in front of him. Then, a dim light gradually appeared and Ace could make out a few shapes and silhouettes on the landscape.
I can't see,
Ace said.
Your dog will lead you. Hold on to the tail and follow me,
the girl said, and then moved off. Ace grabbed Hazel's tail as she started to move. As the light came up a little more, Ace looked up. There was a huge array of xenon light banks There was a thick glass amplifier lens protruding from the lights. They were attached to a rock ceiling. Ace suddenly realized that he was in some kind of titanic cavern. The biggest cavern he had ever seen. He took a sharp breath as the realization dawned on him. He wasn't free. He was still in Subterra.
"Where are we? What is this place?"
Ace asked. The girl looked at him quickly, as if she was processing his question. Then responded,
"What do you mean? Winter Garden."
Winter Garden.
She moved through the trees and Ace had to hurry to keep up with her, following her deeper into the forest, deeper into the unknown.
Subterra was created by Steve Kruger and Warren Davis. Performed by Marty Yu and Cece Boyce.